Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ing's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we like to begin our time together by setting the intention to just let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
I always feel it's important to set the intention for whatever it is that we're doing. And I like that we begin every Sunday setting the intention to step away from the outer world of distractions, what's going on, planning for the week ahead, to consciously come together, to commune with the ground of our being, God in us as us. To just let everything that would grab for our attention, just let it be for the next 45 minutes or so. So as always, I applaud you for honoring and taking that time out to nourish your soul and quench your spirit's thirst. We continue in our series of deepening all the deeper things of God. I must confess that when I began this inquiry, I felt that truly I was getting a deeper understanding. No matter how much we study, read, intuit, discern, there's still so much more to uncover. And how can we, with our finite, limited consciousness, ever think that we could completely know or understand that which is infinite? We tend to get it drip-fed to us, drop by drop. We feel it in moments, and then other moments we forget. Anna Nin says, there are few human beings who receive the truth complete and staggering by instant illumination. Most of them acquire it fragment by fragment on a small scale, by successive developments cellularly, like a laborious mosaic. And that struck me of the truth of it, because this morning we're going to look at illumination, the illumination of God. And whilst there are moments when each and every one of us can claim to have felt, received, or experienced that illumination, it quickly disperses in the busyness of living and life until the next time. As Anna Nin says, it's almost we receive it like fragments putting together mosaic. And I was reminded of that this morning, after having a conversation with a dear friend last night. And during the course of the conversation, she kept saying, hopefully this will happen. And I'm hopeful this might occur. And hopefully this will be... And so the conversation went. Eventually I stopped and I said, you've been with me too long to be using hopefully in this conversation. She laughed and said, I often correct others and here I am. You see, this is the illumination of God that lights up our consciousness and keeps us truly connected to the truth of who we are and whose we are in our hearts, in our eyes, in our minds. We are feeling, knowing, experiencing what that illumination is. So in order to expand, let me kick off with our sacred text, 1 John 1, 4-5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. As I contemplated this verse, what it meant, what is the darkness that the light can overcome it? This darkness that cannot overcome the light. And I thought and felt that it meant the ego. The ego cannot overcome the illumination, the light, the truth of God. God is that total illumination that is all truth, all wisdom, all knowledge, all good, all perfection, which the ego cannot overcome. So if we're like Ananin, fragmenting, taking the pieces of little bits at a time of God's illumination, God's truth, God's light, applying it sometimes and then not at others, we will find life exceedingly challenging. I'm conscious that Jesus knew this truth because he came into the world and said, I am the light of the world. He knew that he was one with the illumination, that deeper thing of God with which there is no variation or shadow or change, as the verse says. When we can connect and plug in to this truth and allow the unstinting, unhindered illumination of the Divine Spirit to guide our path, to direct our ways, to illuminate us, we won't be hoping or wishing or begging or cajoling God. Jesus knew that this illumination was powerful, that this illumination was not subject to him alone. This illumination was for every single one of us, and that is what he taught and demonstrated and lived. I am not advocating that this is easy, because I know as I am challenged myself, my accountant gave me some news that shook me to the core. But I had to rally quickly to remind myself that God is the source of all my needs, for all that I want, desire, or require, and that I need to hold that truth, hold that illumination, hold that belief foremost and uppermost in consciousness, so that the darkness of the ego will not overwhelm the light of truth. We all have to face some kind of crisis in our lives when the darkness of our egos will seek to overrule the illumination of truth, of wisdom, of understanding, of discernment that comes from when we are connected to the source of all that is the ground of our being. And this truth, this understanding of God's illumination, isn't all or in many of the world's religions. Sikhism says there is but one God, his name is Truth. He is the creator. He fears none. He is illuminate. He is without hate. He never dies. He is beyond the cycles of birth and death. He is self-illuminated. That is Guru Nanak. Zoroastrian says, one of the central properties of the benevolent Ahura Mazda God, it is uncreated, glorious, the primordial light. It fills the heavens, which are the abode of light, and it was the energy from which every material thing in existence has been formed. Islam says, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The similitude of his light is as a niche wherein is a lamp. The lamp is in a glass. The glass is, as it were, a glittering star, lit from a blessed olive tree, neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil would almost glow forth of itself, though no fire touched it, light upon light. Allah guides unto his light whom he pleases, and Allah sets forth similitudes for mankind, and Allah is all aware of all things. One of the 99 names of God in the Islamic tradition is God is light. And in Buddhism, even though they don't see God as a deity, the Buddhist scripture speaks of numerous Buddhas of light, including a Buddha of boundless light, a Buddha of unimpeded light, light of pure light, of incomparable light, of unceasing light. The flower ornament scripture written between 359 and 710 CE contains an overwhelming number of references to the Buddha as divine light. And here I'd like to share our poem for this morning. It says, the brilliance of the Buddha's light is often said to be indescribable. In the Sutra of the Contemplation of the Buddha of Immeasurable Life, written in the various versions between 5th and the 13th century CE, we read that no words can fully describe the brilliance of this light. The Buddha of Immeasurable Light has 84,000 features. Each feature has 84,000 secondary attributes. Each secondary attribute sends forth 84,000 rays of light. Each ray of light shines out over the world of the 10 quarters. And those sentient beings who are mindful of the Buddha, are embraced by that light, never to be abandoned. That deeper thing of God, that illumination, that is, as we first started out in our inquiry, it's that which is taught to us by spirit that will enable us to stand strong. As we recognize the illumination of God, we can confront anything that we are facing in the awareness that God's light, life, love, presence is right where we are. I love the quote that I shared yesterday by Dag Hammarskjöld. God does not die on the day we cease to believe in a personal deity, but we die on the day when our lives cease to be illumined by the steady radiance we knew daily of a wonder, the source of which is beyond all reason. It is incumbent upon each and every one of us to seek that divine light, that light which will be a lamp for our feet and a guide for our path. Doesn't matter what it is that we are facing, what challenge, be it health, be it financial, be it personal, mental, emotional, social, whatever it is, there is nothing that can hinder or block the illumination of God, that perfect and right expression of truth, guidance, and direction that we cannot avail ourselves for. our teacher showed and demonstrated continuously, that we have access to this divine light, this deeper illumination from spirit. We always are at choice. We always get to choose whether we allow that light to shine within and illuminate how we are, or whether we allow the ego to direct. Remember, our sacred text is that God is light and the darkness cannot overcome it. My science of mind reading is entitled Light at the End of the Tunnel. The first quote comes from Kobe Yamada, who says, "Believe there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Believe that you might be that light for someone else. Believe that the best is yet to be." A second quote from Ernest Holmes, Creative Ideas. "Every sense of doubt of any kind is wiped away in the knowledge that today is the day that God has made, and I am made glad in it." The author writes, "Holding on to hope is an inside job. It ignites the part of me that knows there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It helps me hang on when circumstances are rough. In the moment of great fear, hope whispers, find gratitude. Gratitude cuts through my terror to help me find my footing, asking, what am I grateful for? Leads to initial answers such as, I'm breathing, my feet are on the ground. Taking a deep breath, my thoughts begin to shift to, I'm okay, this too shall pass, this situation will get better. As I walk through the challenge, gratitude invites me to notice small, everyday experiences and be grateful for them. Hope and gratitude are alive in me, allowing the light at the end of the tunnel become a reality in my life. Darkness may be the absence of visible light, but it doesn't mean light isn't there. The light at the end of the tunnel is present always. I lean into the presence of the divine light, knowing I'm not alone." Whilst the author considers hope and gratitude as a way to navigate out of the darkness to the light, as always, I would exchange that to trust and gratitude. I don't need to think about there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I need to know that I am one with that infinite light right here, right now. That the illumination of God, as I trust in it and am thankful and grateful, it will do the perfect and right work in and through me. So when I come to share the affirmation, I will definitely be changing that word hope to trust. Here on the Sunday Soul, my constant invitation is that we are truly cognizant of our words, and we choose the words and align with those words that support our continuous alignment with our God presence, our God power, our God life. For me, there will always be a significant difference in something or when I affirm that I am trusting in God as opposed to I am hoping for God. I know that my teacher never taught anything about hope. He taught us to trust and have faith as a mustard seed. So as we continuously dive deeper into the deeper things of God, always the invitation is going to be to be conscious and cognizant and mindful, to let the illumination of God direct our path and our ways. Then the story that I wish to share with you was one that was sweet. And it writes, Thanksgiving Day was near. The first grade teacher gave her class a fun assignment, to draw a picture of something for which they were thankful. Most of the class might be considered economically disadvantaged, but still, many would celebrate the holiday with turkey and other traditional goodies of the season. These, the teacher thought, would be the subjects of most of her students' art. And they were. But Douglas made a different kind of picture. Douglas was a different kind of boy. He was the teacher's true child of misery, frail and unhappy. As other children played at recess, Douglas was likely to stand close by her side. One could only guess at the pain Douglas felt behind those sad eyes. Yes, his picture was different. When asked to draw a picture of something for which he was thankful, he drew a hand. Nothing else. Just an empty hand. His abstract image captured the imagination of his peers. Whose hand could it be? One child guessed it was the hand of a farmer, because farmers raise turkeys. Another suggested a police officer because the police protect and care for people. Still others guessed it was the hand of God, for God feeds us. And so the discussion went, until the teacher almost forgot the young artist himself. When the children had gone on to other assignments, she paused at Douglas's desk, bent down and asked him whose hand it was. The little boy looked away and muttered, "It's yours, teacher." She recalled the time she had taken his hand and walked with him here or there, or she had the other students. How often she had said, "Take my hand, Douglas, we'll go outside," or "Let me show you how to hold your pencil," or "Let's do this together." Douglas was most thankful for his teacher's hand. Brushing aside a tear, she went on with her work. That touched me. Because she allowed the illumination of God to guide and direct her, to give the special care and attention one child needed. And as we open, allow ourselves to receive the deeper illumination of spirit, we can be guided, directed as to what is the next thing, right thing, best thing for us. Our teacher didn't say, "I came hopefully for you to have good things." He told us clear and confidently that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. If we allow the deeper things to illuminate our consciousness, we can claim that abundant life through faith and trust. If you haven't already, my beloveds, I invite you to close your eyes. As we go within, shutting out the world of distraction, the world that clamors for our attention, quietening the ego that would direct us, distress us, or disturb us with things that are of no consequence in this moment. And as we take three deep breaths, we're always mindful of the words of Job. He said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as we take three deep breaths in, let us be mindful that we are breathing in that life-giving, energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. This is God's body temple that we take for granted and fail to honor and acknowledge with gratitude. So this is what we're doing in this meditation, to honor our body temple that houses the Spirit of God. Blessing and releasing the positive and the negative emotions that each organ contains. Inhale, lower the diaphragm, taking in the life-giving, energizing breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly, release. Inhale. Exhale. hold. Gently, slowly, the third and final time, inhale. Gently, slowly, release. Bring your attention down into the heart. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work the heart does, pumping that life-giving blood around your body. And as you inhale, affirm, this is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Place your attention on your kidneys, at your lower back. Take a moment to just acknowledge the wonderful work that the kidneys do, that it eliminates the toxic waste and substances out from your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Now place your attention on your liver under the right side of your ribcage. Take a moment to acknowledge what this wonderful organ does as it detoxifies your blood and combats infections and produces new blood cells. It is the largest organ in your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Bring your attention to your lungs. Take a moment to acknowledge the wonderful work the lungs do as it breathes in the oxygen and then pumps it around, allows it to circulate through the body, through your bloodstream. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Now place your attention on your stomach. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work the stomach does as it takes in the food, stores it, breaks it down, and allows you to receive the energy from the food that you've had. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. There are so many other systems that work together in our body temple that we so take for granted and are even unconscious of the work that it's doing. But in spite of all of that, our body temple functions. So let's just take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude all the systems. The skeletal, the nervous, the respiratory, the muscular, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular, the circulatory, the urinary, the integumentary, the reproductive, the digestive system. Dalva, the divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything and anyone that's in need of prayer. This morning I invite you to let us hold our world and all sentient beings within it in our circle of prayer. We know that God is the presence, the power, the spirit, the life force that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. We can access that deeper illumination of spirit whenever we choose. Divine Beloved, Mother, Father, God, Thou who art the absolute mystery, as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, asking that we be illuminated by your spirit, that we surrender the fears, the worries, the stresses, the anxieties, and allow the spirit of light, the spirit of truth, the spirit of wisdom, to dissipate them into their nothingness. Let us remember that the darkness or the limitations of our egoic nature cannot overcome the light of our being, you, Divine Beloved, God in us as us. Let us affirm as our teacher and way-shower did, that we too are the light of the world. Let us allow your light to illuminate and access and accent and accentuate our light, that we may shine before others, that they may see and be reminded of their own light. Mother, Father, God, we ask now for your illumination for our world and all the beings within it. We ask that your illumination radiate brightly into the consciousness of all humanity. You know all that is happening, all that is going on. I think we know that humanity's ego is allowing it to express everything that is opposite of what you created us to express. which is love and oneness and kindness. So illuminate humanity's consciousness that we may come back to this truth. Come back to the remembrance that we are one kind, humankind, and that we are yours, and that we belong to one another. Mother, Father, God. If there is anything that I have failed to ask for, I know you are aware of our individual needs as well as our collective needs. So in this morning's prayer, as we open up our consciousness to you, I give thanks that our each and every need is met in perfect and timely ways. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm out loud. I open myself to life all around me. Cross your hands at your palms, wrist down over your heart and affirm. I am one with love and all that love is. Bring your hands together as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words of health and wholeness. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards and affirm. I give thanks for all good things flowing to me. Bend your elbows, making small circles with your wrists and affirm. I release and let go. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me. Trust and gratitude and prayer are alive within me.
Trust and gratitude and prayer are alive within me.
Reminding me of the divine light
that guides my way.
Our Buddhist reflections, if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed,
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe. Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly.
Radiating brightly.
I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God. Within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Eternal
and
unceasingly.
Beloved, our rumination for this week, Rumi says, the illuminated life can happen now. In the moments left, die to your ego and become a true human being. So before we have our closing benediction, just to remind you, as always, we'll have our 10-minute prayer on Thursdays, as usual, our 10-minute top-up, our 10 of 10. My closing benediction. May you see God's light on the path ahead when the road you walk is dark. May you always hear in the time of sorrow the singing of the lark. When times are hard, may hardness not turn your heart to stone. For when shadows fall, remember, you do not walk alone. So my closing song is my fave of the week. It's by The Local Sound, entitled Shout to the Lord. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I say that I'm loving like you.
Love that. Local sound and shout to the Lord. My beloveds, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday until we meet again on Thursday for our midweek prayer. Until, peace and blessings.